Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
OC Dugout is excited to announce a public autograph signing on this Saturday, December 6, 2014 at the Frank & Sons Collectibles in Anaheim, California. You can get your tickets at ocsportscards.com. Our awesome guest today will be doing autograph signings at this event along with several voices of Disney. Our guest has the distinction of being the first person to provide the cute and endearing voice of that lovable blockhead Charlie Brown in a handful of delightful TV specials that include A Charlie Brown Christmas, It's a Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Now, of course, these aren't Disney movies, but they are often shown on ABC, which is a channel that, of course, is owned by the Disney company. Peter Robbins, welcome to the show.
Good grief. Everything is owned by Disney.
Yes.
That's very true.
That's a good point.
It's a Disney world. We just live in it.
That's right. And if they would just pay me, I would be most happy.
So, Peter, can you tell us how you got to do the voice of Charlie Brown, how that all started?
Sure. I was a child actor. I started in an Ivory soap commercial when I was 8 months old. They threw me in a tub. Fortunately, I wasn't with Marilyn Chambers. Then that springboard into other commercials, TV shows like Get Smart, The Munsters, Rawhide,
My Three Sons,
and so on and so on. I worked more as a child actor than anybody else in the 60s. That's to be in motion pictures with Shirley Jones. It was just a to play a Mexican in a show in New Mexico called And Now Miguel, which was on a sheep ranch. Got to be in France with a picture called Moment to Moment with Mervyn LeRoy, who produced Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
With a beautiful woman named Jean Seberg. So that's kind of what I knew when I was growing up, is being in show business. Until the time I was 9 years old, I was in F Troop 2, ran out for kind of a cattle call for a thing called Charlie Brown Christmas, where I was just, I lived in Newport Beach. It was a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. Had to go all the way to L.A. You know, it was like after school, drove me an hour and a half or whatever, 2 hours to do these kind of cattle call auditions. I kind of was just like, you know, get me out of here. Good grief. I got a rock.
Right.
You know, let me go home.
Did you enjoy being the voice of Charlie Brown when you were a kid? Was that a good experience for you?
Oh, it was a great experience. I mean, once the specials first showed, I had a group of 10-year-old girls in my middle school just circling me saying, that's the blockhead. I go, oh, God.
Oh, no.
This is how it's going to be.
So the kids gave you a hard time.
Once that show exploded, and I'd never seen it since the production, we were in a recording cell. I don't know where it was. Western Recorders, it was called, which is off of Melrose in L.A. And the Doors recorded there. So we'd go in there and we'd see all the Doors leftover stuff. We didn't know where the Doors were. Drums and cymbals. So they were going to try to record everybody's voice at the same time. And that turned out to be a disaster because everybody wanted to play with everything. So we had our voices fed to us by the director, Bill Melendez, who did a lot of the animation of Fantasia and Disney stuff. So they had us one by one and him feeding us the lines where we mimicked him. And I think at one point, Charles Schulz said, you're turning Charles Brown into a Mexican, which was funny because that's the way I did the lines, one by one, feeding his suit. And it was just such a great, and all the congratulations goes to Lee Mendelson, who put together Vince Guaraldi, the music, Bill Melendez, the best director in animation history, himself, and using kids for the first time instead of having adults play kids in these specials. And the people they picked, including Chris Shea, who I love to, I love very much, who was the voice of Linus, who passed away in 2010, who always was the philosopher and who always told Charlie Brown, no matter how bad it is, you know, Charlie Brown, this is just the way it is. You plant your little tree, whatever it is. I got my little tree, and you give it love, and it's the best tree in the world. You can have the best tree in the world and not have love. Mm-hmm. So what's that?
Yeah.
Is, to me, love.
I have to agree with that. I have to totally agree. Now, is it true that you have or used to have a dog in real life that you named Snoopy?
Uh-huh.
Is it true?
Well, I've had a couple of dogs. One was an English Stafford Bull Terrier that I inherited when I was running an apartment building. She threw her snout out the window and broke it. And I made an agreement with the owner that I'd take care of it during the day and he'd take care of it during the night. And I used to take it to during the day to Malibu because I lived in Van Nuys. I could go to Malibu and the Santa Monica Mountains, and then I took her to everywhere. So I had Entertainment Tonight come by. Her name was actually Nikki, and I said, they said, "So what's your dog's name?" And I said, "Snoopy," and they loved that.
Oh,
they ran with the story.
Oh, okay.
I got another dog, and I named it Snoopy, and she got stolen, and got me into a little bit of problem. You don't want to go say to somebody, "Hey, if you don't give me my dog Snoopy back, I'm going to track you down."
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. If you Google me, you can read all about that. That's what I'm surviving and going through. You know, there's nothing like the affection of a dog.
Yeah, that's really true. So,
and I don't have a dog now, but I'm working on getting one. I had somebody give me a pit bull. I live in a 55 plus and over community. Apparently, you can't have pit bulls here.
No.
I kept calling it a cockapoo. But it just didn't work.
They weren't buying it, huh?
Yeah, they weren't buying this 35 pounds of muscle.
You did all those guest appearances on all those great TV shows. Do you have a favorite, Peter, that you liked? You know, was it Get Smart? Was it the Munsters?
The three that I really remember were F Troop, the Munsters, and Get Smart. I was hired by Mel Brooks. I remember we were having a Monday morning reading. Mel Brooks is running around the table going, "Where's Don Adams? Where's Don Adams?" And he shows up, dark sunglasses, all hungover. We did our run through, and I had my first on-camera episode with him, and he goes, "Your fly's down." Oh, my gosh. So embarrassed. But that was Don Adams. Going to these celebrity shows that I've gone to, signing autographs in New Jersey and New York, Comic-Con and Dallas and Salt Lake City. I got to meet so many wonderful people and so many wonderful fans of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Of course, the Great Pumpkin. It's just a pleasure and kind of been a rebirth for me. So I'm very thankful for that. And I've got to meet some beautiful people like the Fonz, and I was next to Sally Kellerman, and I got to see Terry Garr, who I adore, you know, from Young Frankenstein, who has muscular sclerosis. In spite of that, they face up, they're on time, and they meet their fans, and they sign autographs, and I'm just amazed at the beauty that they have and the respect that they have for their fans.
Well, I bet it's a lot of fun to go to these autograph signings, and do people come up to you and ask you different things? What do they ask you?
Well, no one's mentioned that my fly's been down, so that's been good.
So you're doing better, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing, thank you. I've been to fly rehab. No, you know, It's funny. I sign my autographs, Peter Robbins, and if I see somebody, so I'll see cute little girls come up, and they'll just go, I got to get this for my uncle or my niece or this. You know, they're not getting it for themselves. I mean, I'm not on the A-list of the celebrity tours, like, I don't know, Fudo, whatever his name is. What's the guy from Lords of the Ring?
Elijah Wood.
That guy's a superstar. That guy can sign more autographs in a minute than I can in an hour. And then I was next to Rudy. But I love these guys. They all represent themselves well. They all are happy to meet their fans, and that's what I'm happy to do. In my limited space of working right now, my goals are to continue and represent Charlie Brown the best I can and move on to doing voiceover work brought to you by Toyota and all of your Toyota dealerships.
Right.
Just do what I can to represent and become a positive influence on people.
So, Peter, do you have any, like, you know, you did all the Charlie Brown stuff and television, but do you have, like, a favorite memory of, you know, maybe one of the Charlie Brown things that you did? Do you have, like, a memory of, hey, we had a good time doing the Christmas one or the pumpkin one because some great, you know, thing that happened during those tapings, recordings?
Well, I always like this the sentence, I got a rock, because that's what happens to everybody in life. They have these expectations. They go around with their little bag, their little Halloween outfits, not just in Halloween, but whatever. And you get your little notice in the mail, and it's just, thank you for your appreciation. We'll get back to you when we have an opening. Good grief. I got a rock. Charlie Brown is so acceptance of that. Charlie Brown is so acceptance of, he never wins a game in baseball. He can never kick the football. But every year, he tries. He tries through all the ridicule. That's the value of Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
He never cries about it. He falls on his back, sweeps his back off. You know, my fantasy was to go on Jimmy Kimmel and have Jennifer Aniston hold the football, and I'd kick it in the audience for the first time ever.
That would be good. That'd be
great.
That's
a good goal. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know what?
Well, we
the National Enquirer.
Listen, Peter, we just want to thank you, Peter, so much for your time and for talking with us and everything. I know everybody's excited about seeing you in December at the next autograph signing. You know, thanks for coming on the show.
I love seeing the fans. You know, it's been a great event everywhere I've gone, just to see how these beautiful, beautiful specials have been passed down from generation to generation.
Yes.
And to be a small part of that, I feel very lucky and fortunate.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon a star. Your dream.